Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read this at the end, but I'm going to read it now. Got all my notes here. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this time that we can come together as fellow believers and fellowship with one another, but more importantly, fellowship with you, Lord. We thank you for your word that's anointed to destroy every yoke in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place and what you're going to do. And I just speak blessings and favor upon your people today as we hear your word about your promises. And no matter what comes against us, it doesn't do away with what we know your word says. And that we are thankful for. I was going through my desk, stuff on my desk this morning in the office, and I came across this, and I thought, well, it goes along with the message today and things that may be going on around you or whatever, but I don't remember when I read this, but some would say that, where is God in the midst of all this trouble? As you look around, you see this and that one being attacked by the devil with this, that, or the other. I've not called you to question, but to believe. Believe on the promises of my word to you. I am the Lord God of the, in the midst of you. Do not compromise the truth of my word for a quick fix. I'm not into quick fixes. I'm into permanent solutions. Whew. The solution to your trouble can only be found in those things that I have promised you. Continue to remind yourself of those promises that I've given you. You are in a covenant relationship with me, and I will not forsake you in the day of trouble, nor will I give up on you. When others say give up, you stand up. Stand up for the truth of my covenant blessing to you and to your household. Amen. Aren't you glad for permanent solutions and not quick fixes? Praise the Lord. Brother Ricardo read some things that I'll start out with this morning in the bulletin. In living life, we find ourselves at any given time in one of these four situations. Going into something, right smack in the middle of something, or we're coming out of it, or we may be in a season where it's smooth sailing. Amen. So if you're here today and you're not in the smack middle of something, God bless you. We will rejoice with you. And pray for those that are. Amen. So, but this is the circle of living life in this world as we know it. Amen. This is part of our life. We're either going into it in the smack middle of it or coming out of it or smooth sailing. Amen. And it's those times in life that we have to remind ourselves of what the Word says the promise is. As Ricardo read earlier, in the world you'll have tribulation, trials, and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, confident, certain, and be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and to have it to conquer, have conquered it for you. Aren't you glad that Jesus has already gone before us? He's already been there before we ever got there. So if you're right in the smack middle of something, know he's already there, and he's right there with you, amen? So the encouraging part of that scripture is where Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. And I have deprived of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Praise God. So as Christians, we have to learn to lean into the Word in those times, those situations that is filled with the promise that have been given to us. So we have to lean into that Word. Lean into that Word. And I remember preaching one Sunday morning, I began to talk about leaning into God, and I could see ourselves, you know, God just leaning into Him. And as we lean into Him, He just covers us. Amen. So at those times in life, we have to lean into the Word and remind ourselves of the promises that have been given to us. So at the times that we find ourselves smack in the middle of a situation in life, there's nothing more comforting, more needful, and nothing more powerful than the promises of God for the problems that we encounter. Amen. And sometimes we have to get into the Word, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves, and sometimes we have to remind other people. Now, this is what the Word says. Amen. And the Word tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many as are the promises of God, they will find their yes in Him. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it, to God through Him, in His person, by His agency, for the glory of God. So we already have the seal of God's yes. He sealed it with a yes. This is my promise, and this is a yes for you. And our answer to that seal of yes is amen, so be it. We don't question it, even though we may not see it and may not understand it. So His seal is the yes, and our amen is brings it all together. Amen. So God has already given us the seal of his yes. So let's look at some things in the scripture today, going back into the Old Testament, to find out how there's some people that the children of Israel had a promise from God, and it took them a long time to finally reach the place where God's promised that they would be. And a period of 400 years passed between the closing of Genesis 50:26 and the beginning of Exodus 1:7. And you think you had to wait a long time for the promises of God? So, you know, they had to keep passing this word along from generation to generation. A lot of these people didn't see that word fulfilled in their lifetime. But we have a legacy to live to our children and our grandchildren and those that are around us. Amen. And so we read that Genesis closes with a family of only 70 people dwelling in Egypt. The family of 70 had come from Canaan to Egypt, and now the nation is ready to leave Egypt and go back to Canaan. You know, that's all, that life, like I say, it's just a cycle. We may find ourselves here one day in this place tomorrow. But God remains faithful. His word remains true. And so Exodus, we go to Exodus, and it opens with a nation of over 2 million people, from 70 to a million people. The increase of people that we read about goes back to a promise God gave Abraham and his wife Sarah, who was barren. Aren't you glad that you don't have to look at the barren places of your life and say, God can't do it? It's just an opportunity for him to show up and show out. Amen. So it goes all the way back to that promise that his seed will be to a great nation. All the way back to Genesis 12, 1 and 31. The Lord said to Abram, you got to get out from your country, from your father's house to the land I'm going to show you. And I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. And sometimes we have to get away from the familiar in order to get what God has for us, because there's so to the promises of God. Yes, they belong to us as his sons and daughters, but there's an obedience on our part to receiving them and seeing them manifested in our lives. We have to believe and trust God, amen, and maybe lay some things aside and maybe get out of that familiar place. So he said, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do, but you've got to get over there where I'm telling you to go in order to receive what I said is yours. So we go back and you can read several places in Genesis that his they talked about his descendants would multiply into a great nation. So there they was leaving of only 70 of the family. And then when they got into the book of Exodus, you began to read where they increased to 70 million people. Israel's a blessed nation. And they are a blessed nation today. Amen. And we will be blessed if we bless and pray for the nation of Israel. Amen. So Sarah's barrenness, but that didn't stop God who take what seems impossible and make it possible. He gave them a word, a promise of this is how it's going to be. So when you look at your life situation, it's contrary to what God says. Just remember, this is not how God said it was going to be. And so often, God's promises seem impossible. Because, you know, sometimes I think if they don't seem impossible, they may not be God. Because everything around you is always contrary to what God is saying. And then you know that you're ready for a blessing. Amen. You're ready for a break. In the middle of a circumstance, but it does not alter the word of God concerning you. So remember that if you're in the smack middle of it this morning, that does not alter the word of God. His word is the same. His promises remain the same. So the children of Israel had just left 400 years of captivity. They had been bound under Pharaoh's leadership, as we read, and now they're coming out of that captivity. That's the word for some today. You're coming out of what is, of what was, into what is. Amen. You're coming out. So we're in that place. Sometimes it's easy, though, to forget about the promise of God. You know, it's the situation before us, the doctor's report, the job layoff, the bank in the red, and your kids going back doing stuff that you just prayed them out of, but yet you see them going back into it, and the enemy seems to be closing in, and it's easy to want to retreat back to the familiar. It's so easy for us to go back to that place of comfort because that's where we're used to being and that's how we're living. And so it's a familiar, it's what is known. I know people who would rather stay in bondage than be free. Simply because that's where they're familiar at. That is their familiar zone. Because they have got so used to living that way, and being free is having to learn to live a different way. And so when we got saved and born again, we had to learn according to the word how to live a different way, how to speak, to act a different way, how to behave a different way. And it's a process. That's why we don't judge people on their in their journey with God. They may not be where you're at the moment. That was a free one. And so being free is having to learn to live a different way. But for those who have been there can testify, it's so much better on this side. Amen. It's so much better on this side, on this free side. So you may have that situation today, and there may be a Red Sea, so to speak, circumstance before you, and the enemy's behind you telling you that you're not this time. This is a and you're just not going to make it this time. Let's go to verse 13 in Exodus 14. But Moses said to the people, we've been talking about but God this morning, amen? But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Remember last Sunday's message? Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, for which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you'll see no more. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. One translation. Stand by, still salvation of the Lord. First thing that Moses told the people was, do not fear. Do not fear. It's the first thing when you come up against a Red Sea circumstance. It's he wants to put fear in you. Because fear, what? Fear will blind you, as we'll talk about in a minute. And, you know, who would not be tempted, though, to be afraid? You know, who would not be tempted to be afraid when the enemy is behind you and the rest of you and you don't got nobody? And so what are you going to do? Oh, so they don't have a boat. But do not allow fear to keep you from seeing what God can do. You know, last week we talked about how fear can lead us to hide, to run away, or to cause us to freeze in our shoes. And then fear can also blind us from seeing what God can do in a situation and in a problem. Because all we can see is the impossibility of it and the bigness of it. So here you are standing against what seems the biggest situation you've ever faced. And somebody dares to stand up and tell you, do not fear. Sometimes we need someone like that in our lives to remind us not to fear. So it's our human tendency to be afraid. But as we said last Sunday, just because you're afraid does not mean you lack faith. It's a trust issue, not a faith issue. Because the Bible says you've got enough faith to move mountains. So just because you're afraid does not mean you lack faith. And remember what I said Sunday? Go ahead and step out afraid. If you are fearful, if you feel afraid, go ahead and step out. So you need to tell the devil, I'm in this to win. Sometimes you just have to get rough with the enemy. Amen. You know, I don't believe in going around finding a demon behind every door, but there's sometimes you got to stand your ground. And you've got to let the devil know whose side you're on. You've got to let him know that you're in this to win and that no weapon. You're taking all of it. Commercial break. All right. Am I on? Okay. All right. So you just need to stand your ground and tell the devil that I'm in this to win, that I'm not in this to quit. Amen. So the same God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who wants to make himself known in our lives. You know, we don't come to just together to hear about God, but we need the reality. We need the experience. We need to see God moving in our lives and not just hear about it. So the same God who raised Lazarus from the dead is the same God who wants to make himself known in our lives. The same God who caused the blind man to see is the same God who will cause us to see. Amen. He's clearing the fear out of your eyes that you're going to be able to see again. So they should be the reality in our lives, that we just don't get to hear about God on Sunday morning, that we just don't hear about the miracles of others, but that we're experiencing it for ourselves. Amen. So remember, we're talking about experiencing the promises of God and that we all have troubles in this life because we're in the world. We want to experience the circle of life. Amen. The enemy wants us to fear. Remember what we said, that in this world you'll have trouble. But Jesus says, hey, I've overcome the world because I have, you will too. 2 Corinthians 2:14 reminds us, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. always. But Moses said to the people, don't fear, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. That's another translation that I really like. Stand still. Aren't we wiggle worms? When we're faced up to, I guess, the Red Sea. But he said, stand still. It means do nothing. It isn't the easiest thing to do, but it means doing nothing. Stand still. How many times have you told your children to stand still when they were little? They can't do it. You know, you'll be combing the hair. You're saying, be still. You know, you're going out to represent this family. You need to look halfway decent. Be still. And that's the way we are. We are representatives of God. So he said, listen, be still. I want to show my glory through you. You know, you're out there representing me. You're my ambassador. Amen? So when you are, you know, when you are tying their shoes, heaven forbid, before they learn to tie their shoes, be still. I'm trying to tie your shoes so you won't trip on them. The shoelaces when you go out. Because it's for your good. I'm trying to get you to be still. I don't want you tripping up. Whew. You know, putting their clothes on. Be still. I don't want you to leave the house naked. Not only will I get arrested, it won't look good. And so that's what God said to us. Be still. I've got you covered. Who told you you were naked? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Some of you just need to be still and wait on the Lord for his next commandment to do something or his next word to do something and quit being so wiggly. Amen. So be still. I'm trying to help you. Have you tried standing still when life seems like it's crashing down around you? Because of what's the first thing we want to do? Our usual response in such a situation is to try to do something. This is crashing in on me. I've got to do something. I've got to try to make something happen. What God is telling you to do at the moment. Then in verse 16, God tells Moses. Let's go back here. Our usual response in such a situation is to try and do something. You know, what can I do to change it? What can I do to fix it? What can I do to make it right? What can I do to prevent it from happening? Nothing. Stand still. So what did God tell him to do? Nothing. He said, be still. So that is the hardest thing to do in the middle of everything. Be still, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. Woo! The Lord is fighting for you at this very moment. There is a warfare in the heavenlies going on. There are angels fighting on your behalf. Glory to God. That is the hardest thing to do, is to be still. God's promise his people, and the same promise is that for us today. Be still when things are bad. You can't seem to keep your head above water. Be still in the middle of it all. And wait to hear from the Lord for the next step. The same God who showed his mighty power with the 10 plagues, splitting of the Red Sea to deliver his people from Egypt, is the same powerful God. Do the same thing for us today, because he does not change. He does not change. So we need to do what God is telling us to do at the moment. And he will always give us just enough light for the step that we're on. But oh, how we like to see the bigger picture. How we love to see the bigger picture of the situation. Because it will show, you know, because it's our comfort zone. We want to know how it happens, when it happens, who it's going to happen with. That's not trust. Amen. That's not trust. The next verse says, I think it's verse 16, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. That's what God told him to do. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Think about all those millions of people in the darkness, in the middle of the night. And the wind starts to blow. It says a strong east wind. It's always at the midnight hour that things happen. It's always 2 o'clock in the morning when your kid gets sick. It's always in the morning when you get that phone call that you dread. It's always or at nighttime. It's always at nighttime when you get that unexpected knock on the door. And it seems like everything is blowing around you at that moment. Amen. So you got to put their self in their shoes. The enemy behind them, the Red Sea before them, they don't have a boat. And I'm sure fear was pressing down upon them. And the word said a strong wind was blowing all night. If the wind is blowing in your life, it may not be a bad thing. He just may be partying. Woo! He just may be partying. Come on, somebody. He may just be parting the Red Sea for you to cross. Hallelujah. Oh, Sahaya, Sahaya. So you have to know when to rebuke the wind, and you have to know when the wind is from the Holy Ghost that said, I'm just blowing some stuff out of the way so that you could step into my provision and into my promises that I've given you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, hey, Shahalana Makohola Sahaya. And if the wind is blowing your life, just hunker down with God. And, you know, when the hurricanes come, they go and buy all this stuff, and they just get hunkered down until it passes. I'm telling you, some of us need to learn to hunker down, to be quiet, and let God fight our battles for us. And stay there until it passes. Amen. How many people have been killed in tornadoes and hurricanes because they plainly come on the radio and say, do this, do this, do this. Nobody takes their warning. And a lot of people have lost their lives. And so many times, if we don't learn how to hunker down with God in those times until that storm passes, we can lose so much in our life. May not literally our life, but God said, listen for the next word that I give you, for the next step that you're on. So when you are covered by Holy Spirit, and when daylight comes, you're going to see in a whole new way. Amen. In the morning, joy. In the morning, joy. In the morning, joy comes. Amen. Let's stand to your feet. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just pray for those that are smack in the middle of something today. Oh, you're still God. You still got us covered, Holy Spirit. And we're just going to hunker, hunker down with you until this too shall pass. We're going to be still. We're not going to try to figure it out. Or try to cause anything to happen. But we're just going to hunker down with you, Lord, and be comforted by your precious Holy Spirit. We have ears to hear what you say to do next. And if you say move, we'll move. If you say stay, we'll stay. If you say run, we'll run. Because it's in obedience that we see your promises fulfilled in our lives. Oh, yes, you've already given us your yes of approval. And we say amen to that, in agreement with your word. And yes, says God says to us today, be still and know that I am God. I see the situation you are surrounded with at this moment. Know of a surety that this is only a moment in the space of time as you know it. Take this time to rest in me. And know I'm doing a great thing in your life at this moment. The time of the harassment of the enemy against you, against those of your family, is being cut off. And you will see my salvation in a big way. As I come in with the wind of my favor, there will be a breakthrough for you and yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Receive that word today. You may not be going anything through anything today. Today may be smooth sailing. But life sometimes rains on us. And sometimes their enemy throws those fiery darts. But glory be to God. He has caused us to triumph in all things. Be still and quit wiggling. And learn to rest in God. Thank you, Father. Go this week and make a difference in somebody's life. I just pray God's blessings upon you. I just pray today that you find favor in everything you do. That you realize more and more how much of a conqueror you are through Jesus Christ. I decree and declare that you are the head and not the tail, that God is causing so many good things to come your way. He's given us the word that you're going to see his goodness in a big way this year. In a big way, God's goodness is just going to be infused into you and all around you. Hallelujah. Into places that you thought that the goodness could not penetrate. The goodness of God, the goodness of his love and mercy is shown mightily toward us in this year. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. We just pray for our pastors again. We speak strength to them in Jesus' name. Pray for those in the medical team that are looking at everything, Lord, that they have wisdom and discernment, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you're just bringing him up. This is another time of a testimony of your power, Lord. And we just speak healing to his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet to every fiber of his being. He is healed and made whole. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now go and be a blessing to somebody this week. Go and be a blessing to somebody this week. And the church said, amen and amen.